Powering Michigan's Future with Dick Haefner.
Good evening. On tonight's edition of Powering Michigan's Future, we'll spend some time with show sponsors, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 58, and the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeast Michigan, where we welcome Michael Richard, Business Manager and the Financial Secretary of Local 58, and Dan Tripp, Executive Vice President of Southeastern Michigan Chapter, NECA. And we'll explore opportunities in the electrical trade with Tom Bose, Director of Education and Outreach for the Electrical Industry Training Center, and wrap up tonight with the announcement of this year's Macomb Chamber Foundation Athena Awards, recognizing area leadership. Stay with us for WJR's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, your host, Dick Haefner.
We kick off the show tonight by welcoming our sponsors, Dan Tripp, Executive Vice President of the National Electrical Contractors Association, or NECA, of Southeast Michigan, and Michael Richard, Business Manager and Financial Secretary of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, IBEW, Local 58. Welcome, Dan and Michael. And Michael, Local 58 celebrates its 100-year anniversary. Wow. What does that mean to you and the members, besides feeling like you're 100 years old?
Well, I tell you, Dick, it's a great source of pride for everybody in the organization to not only be turning 100, but to have spent all 100 of those years right here in the city of Detroit. So we're really looking forward to the event.
You don't look 100.
Sometimes I feel it, but I think, again, a lot of hard work has gone into this, a lot of preparation, and the members are really excited, and it's been a great collaborative effort on both sides between us and our partners over at NECA and putting this event together.
Can you imagine what Edison would think if he could see today what has happened with electricity?
I can only imagine, and just in my career, how the industry has evolved, his mind would be blown. I don't think he could ever imagine that the industry would have turned into what it has.
Dan, Local 58 is 100, and NECA must be closing in on this.
Actually, we are, but in many ways, NECA in its current incarnation, along with Local Union 58, are actually older than 100. It's only in their current form. The Detroit branch of the Association of Electricists International has been around probably since the early 1900s. As a matter of fact, the first contractual relationship between IBEW Local Union 58 and the Southeastern Michigan chapter of NECA, which used to be called the Electricists, dates back to the 1920s. IBEW as a national organization was formed in 1891, and NECA itself at a national level was formed in 1901. Actually, we became the first chapter of NECA on April 8th, 1929. As a matter of fact, we're approaching our anniversary of that in the next day or two.
So it was early on that the folks who deal with this business decided we needed to get together and form an association to benefit all of us together.
Yeah, both NECA and the IBEW, ever since the basic distribution of electrical power after Edison and the folks along with Westinghouse came up with the system, someone had to put those systems together. And the earlier years of cooperation were kind of contentious, as we talked about in earlier years, but over the years grew and developed as this industry grew and developed, and the importance of working together, especially dealing with issues regarding safety and the industrial base that this area needs to be served over the last century, has brought us together.
Well, both of you, obviously, your institutions decided quite a long time ago, before you guys were even on the scene, that you had to have a friendly, really good working relationship, and usually labor relationships, labor and management that gets into the news, frequently they're contentious and they're going at each other, whether it's at a contract bargaining or even a strike, but NECA and IBEW get along so well.
Well, it goes right back to the very basics of business and being in this industry is one party can't live without the other. And I think very early on, our forefathers on both sides figured that out. And you're right. Unfortunately, a lot of the negativity hits the news and the positive stuff doesn't hit, because if it did, we'd be in the news constantly, because there's a lot of positive in the collaborative between both parent organizations. But when you're talking about issues like safety and working with electronics and electricity, Dan and Michael, safety is paramount. And so you guys work collaboratively on a most basic level.
Absolutely. You know, it's a long history, too, because many, if not most, of the electrical contractors in the area actually themselves have a background through the IBEW. Most folks started out as electrical workers and grew into businesses over the years. That leads to a much better understanding between management and labor. The local nature of our organization and the relationship, labor knows management, management knows labor. We understand each other, and that has been very, very important to us. We haven't been developed through national organizations speaking for us or a disconnect between the members of the local union and the contractors themselves. The joint acceptance of our role in providing what we consider to be safe, cost-effective installations of our product, very important to us, and it makes us work together on a regular basis. And then we have this long, long history of serving one of the most technologically demanding industries in the automotives, obviously, which also moves your focus away from the differences that we have and more toward meeting the demands and the needs of our customer base.
Well, the fact that you guys come together every month here on Powering Michigan's Future to tell your story says a lot to me about how serious you are in getting that story told out to the public.
Absolutely, because again, it you know, putting that the message out there, and we do it every day. We work together every day on issues, big, small, but making sure that that people out there understand that this is a collaborative effort, that labor and management are working in harmony to make sure that we provide the best, safest product we can in our industry, and it happens every day, and it's a proud thing to watch as it continues.
Michael Richard, IBEW Local 58. Here is a good question. Do you feel that the leaders in our state understand the value of the trades?
Well, I think some of them get it, and we're working really hard on those who don't. We have regular tours at our training center over in Warren, which again is a joint effort between both parent organizations. I'm a little biased, but I will confidently say it is probably the best training center on the planet in our industry. And once we do get them down there and they understand and they see firsthand what we're doing there, it's a path for higher education. You earn as you learn. We teach the basic fundamentals, the safety, and we produce the best electricians, period.
Powering Michigan's Future, News Talk 760 WJR. We are underway. Stay tuned for more.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here's Dick Haechner.
We'll continue our discussion with our sponsors, Dan Tripp, Executive Vice President of the National Electrical Contractors Association, or NECA, of Southeastern Michigan, and Michael Richard, Business Manager, Financial Secretary of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, the IBEW, Local 58. Dan, what are some of the biggest challenges to the contractors these days?
Well, more than anything, our industry has to deal with the change that's going on in a variety of ways. Number one is the workforce. As the baby boomers start to move out, the issue of workforce growth and development is very, very important for us, bringing new folks in to replace those folks who are getting ready to leave the industry. Local economics obviously play a large role in the future of our industry and the ability to support that training effort and the employment of the members of the IBEW along with our contractors and the work that they do. Technological change in the electrical industry is probably one of the largest and never-ending things that have to be dealt with on a regular and ongoing basis. And also the idea of developing new markets. As the auto industry has become, even though it's as huge as it's become smaller, even though it's a huge part of what we do these days, it's very important that we find the new marketplaces that are out there that are developing, especially things like green energy, residential development growth in this area. Those are the new challenges that NECA and the IBEW are going to work toward making our contractors and the electrical workers more successful in the future.
I would think that finding new markets and finding new workers together, they kind of go together, don't they? Don't some of the newer, younger folks probably are more in tune sometimes with some of the new things that are in the market?
And actually, they're better prepared to deal with it. Unfortunately, though, there are some differences in their attitudes toward work and training and dedication to an industry that we also have to learn to develop and evolve to meet their needs as well as them meeting us. We found young folks today don't really look at careers the same way we have, at least in my generation. And finding folks that are willing to devote the time, effort, and energy for a lifelong career is not as easy as it used to be.
So then giving the new folks old school is something good for them.
Absolutely.
How do you do that?
Well, we have a training program that is second to none that instills not only technical skills, but job discipline, also pride in work, also provide a good, strong living and a future, good, strong benefits for you and your family to make sure that when you devote some time to this industry and get involved with it, it's well worth your while and it builds a future for you.
Michael, sometimes when you see the younger people coming in and there are actually openings out there for them in the future, the ones who get it right off the get-go, you can probably spot them early on, can't you?
Absolutely. Sitting back and taking an active role in our training, which Dan and I both have as the heads of both parent organizations, I think is a key. We got our pulse on what's going on at the school, and you can really see the standouts as they come in and those who take an active role, and you can kind of pick right off from the beginning who's going to be a leader in the industry as they evolve in their career.
What about the ones who catch on after a while? There have to be still some kids who do come in, Dan and Michael, and they're not old school. They may not have some of these old character factors that you reference, but they figure it out, and somewhere along the line a light goes on, and that has to be pretty satisfying for you, Michael, there at the IBEW, when you see that.
Oh, absolutely, and it happens all the time. Monthly we get together and we meet and we see a lot of these young men and women, and you can see them progress through their training, and when they have that epiphany, it's great to be there and it's great to witness. Sometimes it's frustrating because you just want to shake some of them that aren't getting it quite yet, but they come around and they get there, so that's when it's good to be sitting there watching that.
Well, Dan Tripp at NECA over at the training center, I'm sure that once they get into the training mode and they start learning new things, they get really excited about it.
That's probably the single biggest attraction to the industry. You know, young folks today want novelty, they want change, they want to be involved with the future. And the fact that our industry is truly engaged in that whole process, of all the building trades that are out there, there's probably none more challenging, more interesting, more technologically exciting than the electrical construction market. It involves not only supplying power, but all of the new systems you see in terms of data, communication, voice, and all those various systems, fire alarms. The list is almost endless of the challenges and that's what young folks like. They like new challenges. The routine, boring stuff doesn't excite them, but our industry offers them that opportunity. Within our industry alone, there are 59 separate individual career paths that can be followed, starting from an electrical apprentice right on up to things like PE engineering, electrical engineering, contracting, estimating, job management, purchasing. There's the list of career opportunities and the challenges that are available to a young person are almost limitless.
Besides the challenges and the problems in finding new work out there, I know that there have to be areas that are really exciting, that are growing, and are the growth areas for the business people. Nika, you mentioned green energy, for example.
Green energy, energy efficiency, you know, the marketplace for taking some of the government requirements and incentives, if you will, to convert our nation to a more energy-efficient standing offers a huge opportunity. Plus, the technology continues to grow and develop as we go along. I just, the other day, bought a light bulb that kind of blew me away. It cost $29. But you know what? It will run for more than 10,000 hours. It probably outlived me.
Run for years and years.
Absolutely exciting.
And give really good light, too.
And that's just a light bulb. If you look at computer technology, the communication systems that are required to support that in the industries that we serve, as far as if you look at what's gone into building cars, making them more electronically available, we have to support that system. We put in place the industrial infrastructure that makes that operate, hospitals and the technology that operate there, all of those things, and schools. I mean, it just goes on and on. It's a wonderful future for anybody who wants to have an exciting, interesting, and challenging job for a career.
What's going on the electrical grid?
Good question. You know, right now, there's a lot of money being spent upgrading it. The system, there's two issues. One is the smart grid to help really make use of alternative energy systems that are being developed out there, things like wind power, solar power, getting it distributed around the system. Also, security, the issue of the vulnerability of our electrical grid and providing security for that. And a lot of that involves work on the part of mostly line workers, which are a little bit different than the folks we serve. However, we do a lot of the work at electrical substations in and around that supply power locally off of the grid.
Yeah, and the grid goes, that's the water's edge for the grid, isn't
it? Right.
The substations. Michael, how do you feel about the future of the industry for your members? They come into the training center and call companies that belong to NECA. They call IBEW, and they say, where can I find a job?
Well, I think we certainly have a promising future, but we've got to hit all those points that that Dan had mentioned. We've got to stay in front of the advances in the industry. We got to make sure that we have all the proper training in place for these young men and women and for our journeymen that are currently members of the local. We got to make sure that they keep upgrading their training and so they stay ahead of the industry. So while the future looks promising, we've got a lot of work to stay in front of it. And if we do our job, then we should certainly have a great future for the next 100 years.
It's expensive keeping up on all this, isn't it?
Well, absolutely. An industry that evolves almost daily, and especially when you're looking at the main industries we serve, you know, the big one is the auto industry. It evolves almost daily. New technologies are coming into play. So we've got to make sure that we're staying on top of it. So and having that training in place certainly isn't cheap.
Michael Richard and Dan Tripp, how do you both feel about what is happening in the city of Detroit right now? Dan, we'll start with you.
That's the most promising thing that's gone on in the last 25 or 30 years that I've been in this area. I have watched the city, when I came in as a visitor, kind of go into a tailspin, and it's so exciting now to see this new beginning. While it's painful for some people, I think in the long run, Detroit's going to show the rest of the nation and the world just how resilient we are and what we have to offer to everyone.
Well, when there's change, Michael, there's always some pain because, the landscape changes. But you get an improvement in the end.
Absolutely. And as Dan said, it's exciting to be here at this time. And there is some pain going on with the changes that are happening. We represent some of the good folks that worked for the city for many years. And we're trying to make sure they get protected as the city comes out of this bankruptcy, making sure their pensions are taken care of. But it only gets better as this story keeps evolving. It's really exciting to be here at this time.
We'll get more specifics about what's happening at the Electrical Industry Training Center when you stay with us for Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR.
It's Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by the National Electrical Contractors Association of Southeastern Michigan and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 58. The best contractors, the best electricians, period. Once again, your host, Dick Hafner.
Tonight we're spending a lot of time with our show sponsors, IBEW Local 58 and NECA of Southeastern Michigan, and we turn our focus to opportunities within the trade for apprentices, and we welcome Tom Bowes, Director of Education and Outreach at the IBEW NECA Electrical Industry Training Center. Tom, welcome back to the show, and tell us about the programs at the Electrical Industry Training Center.
Well, we have a number of things going on. I have had for 100 years.
And that's amazing.
It goes back really a long way. And of course, our staple program is our five-year inside apprenticeship program where people learn to become commercial, industrial, institutional electricians. We also have two other three-year programs, a teledata installer program and a residential electrician program. And then that's also in conjunction with continuing education training for our journeymen and other program graduates that they're able to come back and enhance their skills and, you know, learn new things as they come out technologically. You know, so there's generally a lot of things going on there at the training center.
Well, tell us a little bit about what a person going through the training learns and how long it takes and some of the other things. For example, how long is the program?
Well, our stock and trade program, the Inside Electrical program, is a five-year training program, and it is recognized by the federal government, adheres to those standards. It's a comprehensive apprenticeship. You know, we start out with somebody who essentially doesn't know anything about electricity, and we train them in conjunction with our contractors who provide the hands-on experience in the field. But we focus at the school on the related technical training, codes training, and then specialty hands-on training that the apprentices might not receive necessarily in the field, depending upon where they're working at. And so, you know, it's really a comprehensive program. We have a core set of studies, and then in the fourth and fifth year of the apprenticeships, there are some electives that the apprentices can choose. So if they want to go into a particular area of specialty, be it healthcare, industrial automation, things like instrumentation, fire alarm technician, rigging, hoisting training, welding, you know, there's all kinds of different little subspecialties within the trade that people can explore and enhance their skills in.
Can a person come right out of high school and get into the training program, or is other training necessary and a good idea before they hit the training center?
Well, really what we're looking for is somebody with a high school diploma or a GED who has had at least 1 year's successful completion of high school level algebra. Certainly, as with pretty much anything else in today's business world, more math is better. And if they can meet those requirements, they can come in and pick up an application. We will schedule them for an aptitude test, and then based on the test score, they would be scheduled for an interview. And then one of the things that's unique about our program as compared to most other comparable training programs is that we don't start people in the program unless we have a job to send them to. So from day one, they're partnered up with a contractor, and it's totally an earn-while-you-learn experience. The apprentice comes into school 1 day every 2 weeks, and that's a pattern that we established in about 1923 in conjunction with the Detroit Public Schools for apprenticeship training, that it would be daytime-based. So we believe that as far as our related technical training goes, we have what is probably the oldest daytime-based program in the world.
Well, that sounds like a wonderful incentive, too, for these students going into the center, knowing full well there's work out there for me. Now I can learn my trade and know that I'm going to be doing this.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunities within the trade itself. You know, folks who are not really familiar with the electrical industry tend to think of, well, it's a bunch of guys that put in receptacles and light switches, and nothing could be further from the truth. Yes, we do that, but as I'm sure you've seen, so much of the trade these days, you have this kind of merging of electrical technology and information technology. And so one of the challenges for incumbent workers is that you constantly have to retrain on things. You know, that new developments come along, new things get into the code, new things happen technologically. You know, we see it especially with network systems these days that, you know, you can access things remotely from clear across the world and be able to monitor and control them. And, you know, so it's kind of a different setup than what we had for many, many years.
And once you get through the apprenticeship program and you get out into the world, you have an, I would think a lot of these young people have an advantage in that they have just learned the latest and greatest from the training center. And they may know some things that some of the older workers don't, or want to. Those folks want to come back and learn some new things that you have in your possession.
Yeah, we're seeing more and more of that. You know, it used to be back in the day when I graduated, they turned you out with your graduation certificate, and some of those folks, we never saw them again. But, you know, these days more the norm is you see these young kids, they come out, they understand it, you know, that, oh, this is how it works. And the old-timer like myself is sitting there going, man, I better go get some more training if I'm going to remain competitive in this business.
However, you know a few tricks of the trade.
Yeah, well, They say, you know, experience counts for something, and you learn easier ways to do things as you go along.
Tom Bowes, how much does the program cost?
Well, we have a subsidized tuition program because we invest in our future quite heavily. For the student, it's only $400 per year tuition cost to participate in our program.
So tell us step by step the Earn and Learn program.
Well, essentially, we start off in the first year. Of course, the apprentice gets assigned with a contractor, and the starting wage is about $13 an hour with a full benefits package. And so they start to accrue their health and welfare benefits, their pension benefits, those kind of things. Simultaneously, we get them into the basics of electricity. So first year, we do an introduction to the code. We do DC theory. We do some safety things. The second year of the program, they get a pay raise. Actually, they get a pay raise after their first 1,000 hours, and then another one after their first year.
Is there a type of person who is best suited for doing this?
Well, somebody who has a technical interest, somebody who is self-motivated and disciplined, that they understand that part of this equation is you get up every morning and you put a clean shirt and pants on and go out to work whether you want to or not. You know, it's part of that partnership is that you have to be dependable. But, you know, certainly somebody who is interested in technical things. And as I tell folks, typically younger students when they come by the school, it's a life of story problems. You know, that really it's practical math applied in practical situations to figure out how do I get, you know, these number of things to fit into this space.
So these guys and gals learn somewhere along the line that this academic stuff I learned, especially algebra and math and STEM subjects that I learned in class in school, wondering what I'm going to do with it, they find out what they're going to do with it.
We show them what they can do with it, certainly.
What's the future of the electrical trades, in your opinion?
Really, it keeps expanding. You know, it's changed from when I was an apprentice and became a journeyman. You know, it's more technical now. It just, if you look, as we say, you know, the number of bricks in a building has remained the same since Lord knows when. But if you look at the electrical systems, they just keep becoming more complex and more involved, and you can do more things with them. And so consequently, we really don't see an end to expansion in the marketplace.
Sounds like pretty good news for the job seekers in the future.
Yep, we certainly have a number of opportunities.
Tom Bowes of the Electrical Industry Training Center in Warren. We want you to stay tuned for more of Powering Michigan's Future as we learn about the Athena on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Powering Michigan's Future on WJR. Here's Dick Haechner.
Now we're joined by Michelle Fusco, Director of Communications for the Macomb County Chamber of Commerce. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you.
Tell us about the Chamber Athena Award Program. What is it, and when will it be?
Well, the Athena Award started back in Lansing, Michigan in the 1980s, and it has grown to be an international recognition event. The Athena Award honors people who have not only succeeded professionally and given back to their community, but most importantly have helped other women to succeed and achieve their highest business potential.
What do the Athena Awards symbolize? What is this for?
It recognizes that we all need a helping hand to get where we're going, and it symbolizes the importance of giving back and helping other people to, you know, reach their highest potential as well.
So the Athena Awards have gone on for quite a while. They're very recognized and well known.
Yes, and here in Macomb County, we started back in 1999 presenting it exclusively in Macomb County, so this will be the 15th year that the Macomb County Chamber has presented the Athena Award.
Well, it's our pleasure on Powering Michigan's Future to have you announced the 2014 class of the Athena nominees. So let's get going. Who are they?
We have such a diverse collection of, it actually is all ladies this year, but it doesn't, there have been gentlemen who have won in the past. But this year's nominees for Athena are Kathy Bartz, the Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Presbyterian Villages of Michigan. Karen Bates-Gazier is the Vice President of Operations for Macomb Habitat for Humanity. Julie Crory is the Vice President of Fox Broadcasting. the Honorable Linda Davis from the 41B District Court. Kathleen Devlin is the head instructor of IBEW NECA Electrical Industry Training Center. Denise Doors, executive director, Leaps and Bounds Family Services. Dawn Magretta, director of Macomb Community College Foundation. Angela Freeman, community relations director for First State Bank. Felicia Holyfield, she's the educational outreach and college futures coordinator at New Haven Community Schools. Patricia Keeger is the director of diagnostic imaging and cancer services at McLaren Macomb. Ann Lilla, executive director, Anton Art Center. Marianne McLeod, director, Macomb Regional Media Lab for the Macomb Daily. Maria Martinez is the executive director of St. Clair Shores Youth Council for Diversity and Inclusion. Carrie Mead is the chief of plans analysis and integration at U.S. Army Garrison Detroit Arsenal. Paula Roman is a senior vice president with PNC Bank. The Honorable Kathy Viviano is a Macomb County Circuit Court judge. And finally, Leslie Wilson-Smith, senior logistics manager with U.S. Army TACOM Lifecycle Management Command.
So it's an honor for them just to be nominated, because I know this is very well known. It's gone on for a number of years, and the Macomb Foundation itself and the Chamber of Commerce, you've really created this event into a major thing.
It's something not that we'd created, but we have built it up in Macomb County, and I think it's great that we have so many nominees. People can suggest names to our nomination committee, and then I should mention that the selection committee is all made up of the past three honorees. So it will all be people who have won the Athena Award in the past who select who receives it in the future.
Well, I know it's important to them, especially some of the people who do so much good work in our community, and quite often their work is not recognized outside of their own local activities or their own local organizations. And events like what you put on here in the Athena let the general community know what's going on and some of the wonderful people that are doing these things.
It's true. I've had the good fortune to read through some of the nominations very moving, and when you hear people who are really appreciative of something someone has done for them and really want to see that person be recognized for what they have done for their community or for women in particular.
Now, the list of nominees, is there just one winner or is there more than one winner?
There is one honoree each year.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's got to be a pretty tough thing to decide who would win every year.
Yeah, I'm glad it's up to the selection committee and not up to me. But
you have Price Waterhouse Cooper handling the envelope, please.
Nothing that formal, but I do want to thank our selection committee this year, which is Jennifer Morgan of the Martha T. Berry Medical Care Facility. She was our 2013 honoree. Jamie Spreet, who is retired now from HAP, and also Barbara Rossman of Henry Ford Health System.
And tell us again when the event is and where it is.
It is Friday, May 2nd. It's at the Mirage Banquet Center in Clinton Township. Tickets are $75, and it includes lunch, shopping. We'll have over 30 vendors. There's a fashion show put on by Lord & Taylor and Nordstrom, and the awards ceremony. And it's just a great afternoon, and it's a great thing to bring bring your mom to, bring a friend to. It's right before Mother's Day, so a great shopping opportunity. And we are very excited to have Glenda Lewis of WXYZ TV. She's going to be our MC, so we're very excited to have her as part of the program.
So anybody can come as long as they get a ticket. How can they get tickets?
Tickets are available online at our website, macombcountychamber.com, or you can call us at 586-493-7600.
Michelle, tell us a few other things about the Chamber. What is the Chamber's main focus in Macomb County, and how are you progressing?
We are a membership organization, and we are economic development. We help businesses to make connections with other businesses and grow in Macomb County. We have actually a very busy May coming up, so I would like to take a chance to tell you about a couple other events we have going on. We are co-hosting the Breakfast of Nations event on May 7th, which is helps to promote diversity in Macomb County. And then on May 16th, we are very excited to be hosting Governor Rick Snyder at the MacRae Banquet Center May 16th, and that's in Harrison Township. You can also get tickets to that event on our website. And Also in May, we are hosting Team Selfridge Career Fair. So if you are a company who would like to employ veterans, or if you are a veteran or spouse of a veteran who is looking for a job, that would be the place to, again, check on our website for the link. And finally, in May, the All Things Green Conference and Expo, which is at IBEW NECA Electrical Industry Training Center. And that is on Tuesday, May 20th.
Well, the Macomb County Chamber of Commerce, like all the chambers of commerce, provides a forum, a group, where business of any kind can get together and join hands. And actually, not just business. You talk about jobs. You have labor organizations that are part of the chamber, and community groups that are part of the chamber. It makes the Chamber of Commerce such a unique institution in this country.
Yep, I'm just putting our 2014 directory to bed, and we have almost 1,000 members and really a big range of people, and I was lucky enough to include some testimonials from some of our members, and they've all really can give examples of how they've grown their business by being a part of the chamber. And of course, what you put into it is what you get out of it. So I always say, come to an event, participate, get involved, and everyone's there for the same business, for the same reason. They're there to network and meet other people and grow their business. So don't be shy.
The networking opportunities especially are really good, aren't they?
Yes. And in addition to the a number of ticketed events, we every month offer a free networking event, either a before work hours event or after hours event that people come just to network.
We just went through a great recession, as it's being called, and all of your members and all of us, everybody listening here and everyone within the sound of my voice was affected in some way. Your members were affected. What did Chamber of Commerce members learn when they went through this recession about being able to join together in a Chamber of Commerce style of forum? And help get them through tough times?
Well, not to be self-promoting, but I feel like one testament to the value of chamber membership is that our membership did not drop off. It stayed strong, and people saw that as a good opportunity to, when you have limited marketing budget or dollars, to do some face-to-face networking and one-on-one. It's a very small investment for what is potentially a very good return, your chamber membership.
How interesting. Well, that speaks volumes as to the value that they place in the Chamber of Commerce.
I hope it does, yeah.
Michelle Fusco, Director of Communications for the Macomb County Chamber of Commerce. Michelle, thank you for being on our show tonight. And we also want to thank Dan Tripp of NECA, Michael Richard of IBEW Local 58, and Tom Bowes of the Electrical Industry Training Center. And most of all, we want to thank you for listening to Powering Michigan's Future on News Talk 760 WJR. Dick Hafner reporting.